News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
What's going on, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 806 on Mobile Mornings. The text line has been very well used today, 251-343-0106, and let us know what's going on. A lot of you telling us what you like best on your cheeseburger on this National Cheeseburger Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people saying don't. You know, I've never had a peanut butter burger. When I mentioned it, you seemed to not be very excited about the the idea of that either.
No.
But we've seen several texts where people say peanut butter on the burger is the way to go.
Just, you know, don't doubt it till you try it, and I guess we could try it. The other one is more common, I guess. It seems like an odd choice, but the fried egg you say is actually delicious.
Yeah, I think on most quote-unquote hangover burgers, and I think pretty much, well, many restaurants have that on the menu now, right? And so I think the egg is normally a must-have for one of those. I do like a good egg on the burger. It's been a while, though. I'll say that. I think you have to have the right kind of melt on the cheese, whatever cheese you go with, too. You get that right, it's going to be tough to have a bad burger. But today is National Cheeseburger Day, which has brought this to the conversation on the text line.
I'm almost like right there with one of the already menu items, Swiss and mushroom burger.
You can see I do love those.
So that's what I like to go with, a little lettuce, a little mayo, Swiss mushroom, maybe an onion. And then it's time for a nap. That's the thing about eating like that, especially, you know, like if I were to have lunch like that, which I used to be able to do many years ago.
Yeah.
But I could get up early in the morning, do a show, go to lunch with friends, have a big cheeseburger and fries. Go do some more work or whatever. You know, I mean, I wasn't done, but now it just knocks me out.
Yeah, and I mean, we have some really good burgers around here, too. I know some folks have been texting in where their favorite burgers are. Just give me some bacon, some mayo, a tomato, and some cheese, and I think I'm good. That makes it for me.
Bacon's good.
Also, a lot of conversation about the announcement of the hockey team coming to Mobile and a lot of guesses, or not guesses, but suggestions for team names. We'll get to those throughout the hour. But some other national topics to discuss, and I think this will be a pretty consistent theme here, at least for these next few weeks and maybe months, going after Antifa, which was expected at some point, but Trump making it official last night, and making it official as in he announced he's going after Antifa. I don't think there's anything written into law or any executive actions that have been taken just yet, but he hopped on Truth Social last night and said, "I am pleased to inform our many USA patriots that I am designating Antifa." He goes all caps starting here. "Antifa, a sick, dangerous, radical left disaster as a major terrorist organization." And then he goes back to lowercase stuff here. "I will also be strongly recommending that those funding Antifa be thoroughly investigated in accordance with the highest legal standards and practices." And he signs off, as he has been doing throughout this term, "Thank you for your attention to this matter."
Here's what I'm looking at right now. See if you agree with me at all. Antifa, the warning itself, now action's going to speak more than the words, but if the warning indicates that actions are on the way to find out who is doing the funding.
Yeah, who's bankrolling it.
And how they're doing it and why they're doing it. But more importantly, like who it is. And it'll be interesting to see that if this warning is felt strongly enough by anybody who's involved on that end of it all, if you start to see some of the activity dry up. And the reason I say that is it's all fun and games until law enforcement gets involved and they're serious about it. They've already seen the way Trump has been serious about immigration. If you are somebody who has funded or backed any of this activity, you probably have to start looking at your odds and thinking, you know what, you know, enough's enough. I got to lay low.
Yeah.
Even if it's not a retirement from the idea, because obviously these people believe in disrupting the United States. But there could be, if the funding gets cut short, these nobodies, they got nowhere. They're nothing. Matter of fact, the conversation I had with a new friend, I'll call him, over at the Coastal exhibition that we were at the fair.
Okay.
Along the coastline on a couple of weeks, a week ago or so.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm completely blanking on
it. It was
that.
The coastal at the wharf at the...
okay, I got you. Last week when we were down in Orange Beach for the Business Expo.
Business Expo, that's what it was. Anyway, he's had... I ran into a guy who's had confrontations with Antifa.
Really?
Yeah, and he says they are just the biggest...
pieces of crap?
They're not like a rough and tumble bunch. Like he could go right into them and say, "Hey, here's what I'm doing. I see what you're doing. Here's what I'm going to do." Pretty tough guy. But he's with all the padding and all that stuff. Like they make sure that they've got all of their padding before they do anything. They make sure that they've got their helmet all adjusted.
Yeah.
So you know, all I'm saying is, if the money dries up or if the money suddenly, because there's funding going on, obviously.
Yeah, and there's. And what the left, and they'd use this in 2020 when Trump first brought this up, and of course with the Summer of Love riots, the George Floyd riots, which the left still just completely looks past that entire era, like nothing went wrong.
They look past everything.
Entire, you know, blocks were burned down and people killed, and it was just an abhorrent year for America. And the divisiveness was at maybe not an all-time high. You heard me complaining yesterday. There's so many people that, and we are a selfish species as humans. We always think we're in the most turbulent time. It's always, we're in the worst of it now. And stuff like this has been going on for a long time. Now, new methods. Obviously, the internet has put a completely different spin on the way things are communicated. And you can have terror cells that are orchestrated from God knows where, you know, online. And Michael points out, he says, Antifa is an international organization with cells throughout the world and international funding from guys like George Soros. It shouldn't be a problem dealing with them, just like Trinidad Aragua. But the left will go to what they did in 2020, which is, how can you go after Antifa? I mean, it doesn't even have a leadership structure. You're just basically punching into the air. Or they'll say, oh, you're going to go after the anti-fascists? That's rich. Wouldn't that make you a fascist? We're going to hear a lot of that here today and over these next few days. But using, you know, RICO laws and trying to figure out who the head of the snake is that is bankrolling a lot of this and then putting into play what makes these cells a possibility throughout and across the United States. And there's a difference here, though, between, and Michael brought up Trinidad Aragua. Now, we have designations for foreign terrorist organizations. Mm-hmm. That's a thing.
Yep.
There have been three drug boats blown up since Trump said Trinidad Aragua is a foreign terrorist organization. He'd be going after them. I don't think you should expect buildings to start being hit with airstrikes in America that are housing Antifa. There really is, I guess, no technically legal designation for domestic terror groups, and they're going to act like this kind of thing is unprecedented. But I imagine there's a lot of similarities here with how the federal government went after the KKK. Wouldn't you think there's some similarities with the KKK how they were able to go after them and Antifa?
Antifa hides behind, you saw it in Los Angeles, you see it over and over again. They hide behind the curtain of protest. They've had him here.
Free speech. Yeah.
Protest, which is certainly allowed by law. But the protests are not just protests. Remember the Atlanta was building that new police compound?
Police compound, yeah.
And they were violently blowing it up and exploding things and protesting against what was going on in Atlanta. And there didn't seem to be a big appetite to figure out exactly who none of them were from the Atlanta area, it seemed, right?
No.
And so you just have this, you have people who are bankrolled, rolled into a town, you know, the pallets of...
The bricks that always show up. That's a pretty common occurrence.
Yeah.
And I don't know if, when you say bankrolled, I'm not sure that every person on the ground at a riot is being paid to be there. Even if they are from out of the state, I think what you have are a ton of, and what you saw in a lot of the Summer of Love riots were just mentally unstable, or mentally unwell people that fall into this victimhood trap and feel that they are some guerrilla freedom fighter and that they've signed on to this cause,
yeah.
The bankroll goes into convincing those people to act on how they're told to feel.
No, I agree.
And
I
so
agree.
I'm sure there's people that are actually on the ground. They're like, ooh, $100 for coming down here to this. There's probably people that just, you know, latched on to one of these groups and said, all right, we're going. This is the night. Because there's a ton of them that were showing up during that summer. They've kind of gone away, though, here these last couple of years. They're still out there. And they're still around, but they're not the same. Antifa doesn't have the same presence it did when they took over a whole block in Seattle, Chaz.
And I was there. I flew out there, you know, not to cover the story.
Yeah.
I wasn't employed here yet, but I had free time and went out to see my brother. And that's just a really odd thing. That's when we have unrest occasionally in Mobile. It's so important. And then there are agitators that show up suddenly from other sides of the state and wherever and try to blow it all up, make it get further out of control.
Yeah.
But Mobile's done a good job. The community, I guess, as a whole, basically, and the administration of keeping things under wraps here, not having a Seattle or not having an Atlanta.
And they'll also, this is kind of tied into this, but the news with Jimmy Kimmel last night, and I mean, immediately you saw many on the left and in the national news media claiming that Kimmel being sidelined by ABC Disney is a gross violation of his First Amendment right to free speech. And they're saying, oh, like we've seen so many times, the party that's anti-cancel culture. Well, I mean, it is hilarious that the left is going to take this tact on Kimmel being sidelined, because this is something we've seen happen to not even, I won't even just say conservatives, but broadcasters who have said the wrong thing at some point over the last few years. What was it, Garrison Keillor? Is he the NPR guy that was so popular?
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of sort of got Me Too'd on some really spurious kind of allegation. I don't know. And
wrong place, wrong time, bro.
He was one of just so many that was shut down immediately.
Yeah.
Think of Roseanne Barr with a very popular show for a racist tweet. They completely ended her TV career. And the left played a major, major role in that. And they were happy to remind you then. That has nothing to do with freedom of speech. The company that runs that show, they're the ultimate decider. So when you have Nexstar and what's the other one? Sinclair, who own these different TV stations in different markets. They have ABC all around the country.
They own the physical outlets, you know, themselves.
And we saw it with Howard Stern and Rush Limbaugh. When they would do something that warranted a fine, and it went, Howard Stern was fined a whole lot more often than Rush Limbaugh, but Rush Limbaugh also made a lot of people angry across the country. It's those local stations that would deal with the fines and would deal with the fallout. And that's why it's up to those stations whether they want, just like our radio station, if some network show we have on just completely changed their stripes and started preaching from the pulpit on the left. Well, that wouldn't be good for our audience anymore. That's not why they listen to the station. We would say, hey, we're no longer, after the whatever terms of the contract or whatever it is, we'd say, you're not on the station anymore. If that happens enough around the country, they don't have the advertising that they need to continue. That show would eventually probably fade away or turn into a one-hour podcast a week.
True.
So same thing with TV here. There are people that half the country that Jimmy Kimmel implicated in the murder of Charlie Kirk, well after the facts had come out that at the very least this was not some crazy right winger that killed Charlie Kirk. So for Kimmel to get out on the stage the other night and say, we hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it. He's going on well after it's been established that this was not a MAGA shooter, and claiming that it is. There's a difference in having opinion or going out and just telling an outright
lie.
Yeah. And well, so Nexstar and Sinclair said, we're done with it. This has happened over and over again. We're pulling you. That was enough for ABC and Disney to go, all right, you're on the sidelines, Kimmel.
And the other thing about Charlie Kirk, he's never going to be memorialized or missed or grieved fully by much of this nation. I know that he had very conservative Christian values, and those are now argued upon left and right because they don't quite fit into today's norm, I guess you would say. But that's a religious choice that he's made, right? And also, he's been lied about. You keep hearing people say, from what I heard, Charlie Kirk said this or said that, and his quotes are taken completely out of context, mm-hmm. incorrect. That's not what he said. That's not the full quote of what he said or what he was after. If you really Charlie Kirk in my opinion, he's not being memorialized by a good bit of this nation because a good bit of this nation has simply been lied to about who the man was.
Yeah, I agree completely with that. Let's go to the phones real quick before we hit the break and get to these texts as well and talk with Tim on line one. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, good morning. I'm a silver citizen, and going back to what you guys were talking about the other day.
Me too, man. Me too.
Yeah, there you go. Or maybe salt and pepper. I was just thinking about what you guys were talking about, the donations and things like that. You know, your average Joe who can't or doesn't want to, you know, can barely donate to the church fund or whatever. You know, they're not really reaching out to these other organizations. Could care less, I guess, if they start tracking you. I mean, that's just another reason to stop, you know, donating to those funds. Some people just like to donate to anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious if you think they have any kind of tax write-offs. Have they established anything on that other end that if they donate to those organizations, even if it's not directly to that organization, you know, another organization that's a sub-organization.
Can I guess
just donating without even thinking about it? I'm just donating.
I'll take a stab at this. I'm sure that there's in between their shell places that you can donate to that seem like they're legit. And they're
funneling money in.
So when you donate to an organization like that, if they have the proper paperwork, you can use it as a tax write-off. So I think some of what you're saying is true.
Yeah, and maybe a paper trail they're able to follow there.
Right, yeah, and that's what I'm thinking. Once they put light on it and, you know, you're sitting there just donating whatever you are, and then you go, hey, wait a minute, I didn't know that it was going, you know, that it was all pieced together, then you'll just change it, hopefully, to something more, you know, conservative or something more useful in the community, type of thing.
Thank you for your call. Feel free to call again.
Yeah, Tim there. A silver citizen. Silver citizen. 824 here. 251-343-0106. We have a ton of texts, and we'll get to them right here, right after the news.
What's going on? It's 827 FM Talk 106.5. Text line 251-343-0106.
Yeah, it's text line. To quote Mr. Limbaugh, I am a seasoned citizen, is what this texter had to say. Matt asks, do you think Kimmel wrote his monologue, or should his producers and writers also be held accountable? You know, I was a fan of Kimmel for a very long time, and thought he was a really funny guy. I loved the way that he had his team put together and his late-night show, and then something shifted in him.
Trump.
Yeah, that's what it was, yeah, and he has gone completely off the deep end. And I think, you know, you're asking about who's being held accountable. Well, the whole team is. I mean, you take the team off the air, they're all paying for it. And that's the consequence. I mean, it's not like Kimmel's being hauled into jail. He's been let go because the product he's offering has become so controversial or just not enough people want to watch it. This is good news because it means that finally, again, and I don't know how honest they are right now, but TV and entertainment might be headed back towards what Americans want to see rather than what they feel Americans should see.
It's already happening. And so you have these have to.
Yeah.
You have these examples because there's some of the last standing with Kimmel and Colbert.
Yeah. And of course Fallon.
But it's Fallon really that, I don't know if the Fallon is that political.
He gets political. He's not as controversially political as the others. But remember, there's podcasts, many podcasts that do much bigger numbers than these late night shows. With the new podcast and TikTok kind of entertainment consumption these days, I mean, it seems like it's huge news. It'd be bigger news if Joe Rogan was canceled, I think, for how many people watch and listen to him. But there's a market for him, just like there's probably a market for Kimmel to do some sort of online show or a show on MSNBC or CNN.
But the audience isn't that big, and you have to recognize that if you're a business person, organization, whatever, it's not selling. It's selling to a certain group, But that group's smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
And he's pissing a lot of people off, too.
He definitely has done that.
8:30 with Dan and Dalton.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 834 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. We'll check in with Rob Hulbert from Land Yap here in just a minute. But this segment brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. You don't need me to tell you. You already know. Football's back. Underdog is the best place to select entries and win money all season long. And you can play Underdog right now in Alabama. It's actually really easy once you download the Underdog app. Just choose whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, receiving yards, interceptions, and more. But they have a lot more than just football on the Underdog app. Still baseball as we head towards the playoffs and all the sports they have loaded up there. And you can mix and match them into your entries. Or you can just keep your entries to one sport like college football or pro football. You get those entries right, you could win up to 5,000 times your cash. And you can play with as little as $1. Download the Underdog app today and sign up with promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O. You'll score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code Dalton. Millions of fans have already won billions making plays on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog, make plays, win money. Must be 19 plus and present in Alabama. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms. _DFS_.html for details. If you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Rob Hulbert is with Land Yap Mobile. Joins us right now. Seems to be more, we're just accelerating to more and more and more news headlines going on, Rob. And some of your investigative reports are also very interesting. But first things first, you ready to drop the puck, man?
Yeah, it's exciting. Yeah.
That was the big announcement yesterday. And we've talked, we knew this was a possibility and likely since the discussions came up a few months ago. But I'm excited, Rob, and I know not everyone is. We have plenty of listeners who say this will be a complete disaster. And I don't necessarily disagree that that's a possibility, but I'm an optimistic person. I think if they get the youth hockey going and some people skating, recreationally, this could end up being successful enough, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. Is it has to be unlike what was done before.
Right.
You have to have you have kids playing hockey. I mean, it's a different time. People are much more into hockey down here than they used to be.
Hmm.
But also, it is exactly what you said. You have to have youth leagues. You have to have people that are involved in it. Kids who want to come out and watch it. And the other part about it, it's got to be marketed. It has to be something that this is what we haven't done very much in the past, certainly with the Bay Bears and even with the Mystics in the past. I don't think they were really marketed very much to let people know, hey, there's a game going on tonight. Come on down.
Couple things. Yeah, and I agree 100%. I've said it over and over again. You got to market it. You got to be big boy about this. You want to sell, you have to market, you have to spend money to make money. Also, one thing I wasn't at the press conference and the little coverage I've seen, but certainly it was one of our three big things this morning. This, I think, said something. We're talking about they're walking into it, talking a big fight or saying the right things. And you had the Oakview group was there. You had the guy from Zoyer Sports and Entertainment. I think that's Kaufman, the guy named Kaufman. He was talking about strategies, marketing and outreach strategies and such. You had the commissioner of the league was there. So you had a lot of people there where it seemed and felt more big time. And in a way, it just feels like maybe. And the fact that this group owns another hockey outlet, it means they know what they're doing enough.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, now, how do you walk into Mobile with so much enthusiasm? But they have, and they're not blind. They're business people. So they see something, and I think part of what they see that we don't see yet is what their strategy is going to be and what they think they can actually make it work.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be in a new facility. People are going to want to see it. There's going to be a lot of things happening there. There are going to be concerts going on there. People are going to want to come down there. There's going to be a practice facility that I think will be the place where kids can practice and have leagues and that kind of thing. So, I think it's a different program than what we had before. It's really easy to sit back and say nothing will ever work because it didn't work before. But I do think you have to look at circumstances. I mean, I can tell you, certainly with Bay Bears, there were a lot of things that were not being done right and that really contributed to their demise. And, you know, I think there's an opportunity if it's done correctly.
Yeah. That's the poll question, by the way, at lanyetmobile.com. You're asking for folks to name the team, and you give some examples here. Leprechauns, that seems to be a pretty popular one, the Mystics. But I love here, Azalea Trailblades, one of the options you've left.
I'm going to take credit for that. That was mine, okay? I came up with that one.
That is really good. Azalea Trailblades. I love it. So now we're, what, 5 days out from the runoff elections and the Mobile mayoral. Getting a little spicier over these last few days than it has been. A nonpartisan election, but a lot of partisan endorsements coming down. And then this mailer from maybe not the Drummond campaign, but she says or there's a PAC affiliated, and they send out the old MAGA Spiro flyers. So it's not a nonpartisan race anymore.
Yeah, this isn't quite Nashville hot chicken hot, but it's it's like a taco with a little bit of spice on it. I mean, it's getting a little spicier. There's a lot of endorsements coming down. You know, this flyer thing. The issue with it to me is, you know, when we looked at it, it seems pretty evident. I mean, it seems evident. I'm not going to say pretty evident. It seems clear that this was done on her behalf, on Barbara Drummond's behalf, mm-hmm. by this PAC. And she says, no, it wasn't. And I'm like, well, it's the same exact amount of money. I mean, like down to the penny. It's kind of strange. But if that's what she wants to say, it kind of gives me flashbacks to the old days. But the thing that is really interesting to me now is sort of just screaming is that you have now Mike Dow came out and endorsed Spiro last night. You have Sandy Stimson that endorsed Spiro already.
Mm-hmm.
But Sam Jones has remained quiet. And he was, I mean, she worked for him for a long, long time. And so does that say that either A, he is such a detriment to her campaign that they do not want to mention that? I would imagine that must be it, but it is kind of strange. It's kind of getting the silence is deafening, I guess I should say.
Yeah, I would lean what you were just saying, that maybe he's been told to stay on the sideline, but it'd be even more interesting if he just didn't want to endorse Barbara Drummond.
Wasn't Dow affiliated or at least favorable toward Jones back in the day when that transition happened?
Yeah, I mean, Dow said he's the guy. I mean, he put his hand on his head and says, this is our guy.
And
you know, along with the press register, they both said, this is the man to do the job. And so, it's a change of heart, that's for sure.
Yeah, so it's a big deal.
And the question that we've been batting around since this flyer controversy, and I'm sure many houses in Mobile having this discussion, is this the Drummond camp in trouble and trying to throw a Hail Mary and paint her opponent in what they believe is a poor light? Was this part of the plan all along, or was this just when this PAC got involved, that's kind of their specialty, is painting the opponent in a bad light? There's a lot of folks who think that she's in trouble, and that's why she's pulling this card.
Well, I think I think there's sort of a misunderstanding. This PAC's been involved from the beginning, and I think that there were some headlines written by something else, some other group that was that were incorrect in claiming that now this has happened.
Gotcha.
They've been there for months. So I think that what you're looking at is more probably some of that, you know, we got to get out the vote, try to stir it up. When you look at it, to me, and when I look at it, you say there were 16,000 votes that went to Prine and went to Connie Hudson, who are both known to be conservative Republicans. And so those votes were out there to be gotten. And, mm-hmm. you know, are 16,000 conservative Republicans going to vote for Democrat Barbara Drummond, or are they going to vote for Republican Spiro Chargatis? And that seems more likely. So in order for Barbara to win, in my opinion, there has to be a lot more voters that come out who would vote, you know, who are her type of, who are her voters.
Right.
And who are people who are interested in voting for her. And I don't know that there's been that level of interest at this point. And that's, you know, maybe this is a way of getting that out. And but just, mathematically, that's what it looks like to me.
I got you. Yeah, I'm seeing it the same way. Just a few days left, so we will know soon. Another story that, as far as I know, Lanyap, the only one investigating and really digging into this, and you have been for some time, but an update here. regarding Bradley Byrne, president, CEO of the Mobile Chamber, and his work with law partners Adams and Reese. What's the latest here?
Well, there's a lawsuit going on in Dolphin Island over beach access. I'm not going to get too lost in the weeds with that. It basically, Adams Reese is representing the town of Dolphin Island in this case, and there was a deed that they wanted redone. And, you know, when we were told originally, the chamber stepped in and Bradley Byrne signed a new deed basically saying what the old chamber people really meant was this, you know, 70 years ago. And they claimed they'd done all this research, et cetera, et cetera. Emails came out that have been, I guess, were subpoenaed. They're in this, they're in the file, and came out and basically said it shows that Adams Reese wrote him, and a couple hours later he said, "Sure, I'll do this." And you know, it doesn't look good to me. I mean, I think it's I think Byrne needs to explain it. He has been really he has not really spoken about this. I think it's time to explain it because it really does look like he's doing the chamber, you know, using the chamber to help his business. And these emails make it look that way for sure.
Gotcha. And I know it's something that you guys have been kind of investigating, reporting on for some time now, and I know you'll continue to do so. And we weren't lying when we said there's tons of news stories in the latest edition.
It's busy,
of
man. It's very busy.
The cover story here from Grant McLaughlin talking about how construction along in our area has kind of slowed down because the local authorities are taking the immigration raid so much more seriously here than they may be in some other locations, and it's starting to affect business, I guess.
Well, what we've seen is that the documentation shows that 80% of the raids in Alabama have occurred in Mobile and Baldwin County.
Wow.
And we have some people, including Nathan Cox, who runs 68 Ventures, who went on the record, and he says, "Look, you know, I'm a fan of what President Trump's doing, but this has slowed us down to about 25%. And, you know, so there's basically, you know, the home building is coming to a big, it's hitting a huge slowdown because of this, because you have workers who are, in some cases, U.S. citizens, people who are here legally or on visas, but they're still being harassed. And because there's such a concentration in this area, they're looking to go to places where it's not happening as
well. Ah, got it.
Yeah, even in Florida or Mississippi, which are, yep. Certainly Florida is putting on a strong showing, right, that they're doing these raids just like Alabama, but there's construction workers going to Pensacola or even coastal Mississippi, according to Grant, because there are fewer raids happening there.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, they're following people to construction sites and they're targeting construction sites, and it is, you know, according to a couple of people who are in that business, it's really hindering what
slowing
they're doing.
Slowing things down.
Yeah, you would notice something like that in Baldwin County right now, because even if you just occasionally, maybe that's might be the best way to see what that growth is like over there. Because if you're not over there all the time, and maybe just every 6 months to a year, you end up over in central Baldwin County, you're like, wait a minute here. There's a lot of changes already. So that's a place that if you tap the brakes, it's going to be very noticeable, right?
Well, I think the big thing, and people may not understand it, and I know I'll see, you know, comments that say, well, just use this and verify or whatever, and you'll be fine. The problem they're having, and as Nathan points out, he just says, look, there aren't enough people to do this work. People don't want to do this work. This is a very hard business, and you know, people, you know, there's just not folks just standing in line waiting to do this. And so basically it says, you know, if we have folks move out of the community who know how to do this work, it really harms the growth of building growth over there.
Yeah, so there's a ton of growth, that's for sure.
For folks, if they want to pick up the latest edition of Lanyap, it is on stands now, but online is the easiest way to get what's written as it's published. How can folks sign up for Lanyap online?
Well, you can go to lanyapmobile.com, and of course you can sign up. It is $1 for the first month. It's just $9 a month after that. That's 30 cents a day. So if you're not a subscriber, you're saving yourself 30 whole cents a day to just avoid having lots and lots of news that you need.
couple of things, Rob. I love the fact that I can go there anytime. Dalton and I do it all the time, and see a breaking story. That's one way to enjoy land. Yep. The other thing is these in-depth, long form pieces where you're really getting into the weeds, and we appreciate it. Some information that otherwise simply not getting out there.
And then you can also go there and vote for the name of the hockey team. I mean, come on.
The Azalea Trailblazers. Wow.
They could be it. I mean, I think, I'm pushing for that one.
Yeah, and that would be some really colorful jerseys, too. That would be some good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they have the hoop skirts and the whole 9 yards.
All those pastel jerseys. Beautiful. Thank you, Rob.
I'd love it. Yeah, can you imagine? It'd be great.
Thank you, Rob. Rob Holbert with Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. Coming back.
Gender blur a little bit, like this. I mean, is that really what we want to go with this?
251-343-0106. A lot of texts we'll get to before we wrap the show up right after the break right here. Again, 251-343-0106.
Dan and Dalton, 855 Mobile Mornings. Text line 251-343-0106. How about Sean? Says, I'm stoked. It's not our Sean. Sean Collins. I'm stoked about hockey coming back, especially if they build that practice facility and emphasize youth involvement.
Yeah.
There's a vote for hockey right there.
I figured Sean would be stoked about that. Also, some texts about the immigration raids in Baldwin County in this latest Lanyap story saying it's slowing construction down in Baldwin County, not necessarily because of the busts themselves, which have scooped up a ton of people. 80% of the raids in Alabama have come in Mobile and Baldwin counties, but because other laborers who have not been scooped up by ICE are going to other places that aren't taking the deportation ruling as seriously as local officials are here in Alabama. And, I'm very much pro what Trump is trying to do here, but also understand that if Baldwin County and Mobile County are taking it more seriously and raiding job sites, but places in other parts of the state or coastal Mississippi aren't, you're just going to naturally have an outflow of people going to those places who don't want to deal with it. So unless everybody is doing the raiding of job sites at the same time, there's going to be a short-term loser.
Yeah.
And right now, the labor pool in Baldwin County is taking a hit because some of these other red, I thought Mississippi and Florida were as red as Alabama, but they're not doing these local job site raids the same way that we are, and we're kind of paying for it.
Somebody on the text line said when they go up to their hunting camp, they see a good bit of
illegals on the way up there.
Okay.
Rock and Roll Doctor says slowdown in housing / construction is not only related to undocumented labor. Material costs and interest rates are just as big of factors. Says if 68 Ventures can't build more lots for D.R. Horton and their illegal laborers, that's fine with me. Leo says, we built all of Sandestin, Florida in the 70s with 100% American labor. The only thing that changed was importing cheap labor. And let's see here. Fish River Frank, are you saying we have sanctuary counties? Name them. Let's go. Well, the rest of the state of Alabama, they're not raiding job sites the same way we are. So if you want to call that some version of a sanctuary county, I guess you would just say most of the counties north of the Baldwin County line, Mobile and Baldwin County lines. But I'm kind of surprised that they're not doing the same thing over in Mississippi.
Tim says, who gives a damn about hockey? I want to know why do we keep trying things that have failed here before? If it's a new approach, if it's better marketed, if you have professionals who are not looking at it like some sort of a charity, please come help us. Please come to our games.
Mm-hmm.
If they have the initiative to actually market it, it might be night and day to what we've already experienced.
Yeah, I think for the Mystics, at that time, having hockey in the South was a weird thing.
Yeah.
It's much more common now, almost 25 years later. I think they realize they're going to have to do more than just throw a hockey team out there and hope people show up. And since this same group that's going to have control of this team has a successful venture going on in Jacksonville,
yeah,
which just similar in many ways.
Good track record.
See him doing well here. Coming up on the Jeff Four Show, he has State Senator, former State Senator Dick Brubaker, also April Marie Fogle, and from Three Circle Church, Chris Bell, all on the show today.